Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just open our heart as we go. We come to the word that may minister to us. May just open our eyes and give us wisdom, because we need his wisdom. Father, thank you. Thank you for everything, Lord, that you're doing in our lives. Thank you that we know, Lord, that as we come to your word, Lord, you make a difference in us. There is where we found direction, power, anointing, understanding, wisdom, and the strength, Lord, to overcome. So today, Lord, we just ask you that you just minister to each person is here, Lord, that, Lord, our heart may be ready to hear, to apply it, your truth, into our life, Lord, and to overcome, to become free, and have the power to have victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So we've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Really, I believe that without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be here today. We couldn't be able to do the things that God calls us to do. And we wouldn't have the same degree of success and spiritual growth that we have. The Holy Spirit is critical in that. And we had to learn to depend on him so that he can do the work that he's been sent for. This is what he was sent for, to be our helper. Okay, but the problem is with us, sometimes, you know, we learn from the world. We've been around the world and been trained in our senses and our reaction to situations around us, that we have to do something, and we end up making choices and working according to what we think is the right thing to do. And often it is not, because we don't have the whole picture, we don't have the whole understanding. And this is when we have to actually learn not to be too quick in reacting, too quick in getting our own ideas to do things, and instead to go and get direction. See, that is really why he was sent for us. That's why, you know, we can make a complete difference in the way we succeed, when instead of going around to our own ideas and our own solution to get wisdom and understanding from him. See, this is what Paul was praying for the Ephesians, that they may have the wisdom of, you know, the spirit of wisdom and revelation from him, so that they could be the people that God wanted to be. And this is true today, just as well, you know, just as much as was true when he was writing the epistle of things, you know, and the time when that becomes more critical is when we are going through trials. We are going through a difficult time. When we are going to be tempted one way or another. And there are lots of scripture talking about temptation and test. And really, you know, people think that generally the temptation means something that you are tempted to sin and to do something, you know, but often, you know, that involves, you know, the same approach, the same mentality, the same thought that are there apply for anything that we need when we are going through a difficult time. See, when we are going through something that put pressure on us, that's the most critical time in which we had to learn to, instead of feeling that we had to do and take charge, to be dependent on the Lord, to get his direction, to get the understanding in how to deal with the situation. Instead of, you know, being so much present with our problem, we had to learn to be present with the Holy Spirit so that we hear him, that we understand what he wants to do what he wants us to do. See, that makes all the difference because Jesus sent us our helper. That means when you need help, that's where we have to go. And he's the best that we can do, that can get help from. You know, we're under temptations, tests, trials, okay? And they come to all of us because we are in this world, okay? And we have to understand that the approach we have to take is always the same, okay? Is not to fall into the pressure and feel the pressure end up reacting in the flesh. See, that's the time when we had to learn to walk in the Spirit. And that is the most difficult time because our soul is there, I want to do something. And when we end up missing it, because we end up doing it in the flesh instead of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. See, this is when, you know, we can be tempted to do something that is wrong, or we can be offended for somebody that, you know, has not been nice to us, or is, you know, dealing with us in a wrong way, you know, and so we end up responding, getting resentful, getting, you know, in the wrong frame of mind. Okay. When we see others that are doing better than we do, and we just start feeling bad about ourselves and be jealous for the others. You know, all these are things, you know, when we are unsatisfied the way things are going. Well, that's not the time to actually go in the flesh to try to resolve the situation. Okay? When, you know, we are in a difficult place receiving from God. Maybe we need healing. Maybe we need a breakthrough. And so what the flesh tries to do is complain. Trying to find out everybody else to blame but us. You know, you know, we made a mistake and we are in trouble. Oh, the devil made me do it. That's for sure going to resolve it. What you are dealing is actually saying that, you know, I'm letting him to run my life. When instead, what we had to do is to take ourselves charge of our life under the direction and the Spirit of God was sent to us so that we can deal with those circumstances. Hallelujah. When, you know, we have needs and they're not met. And so, you know, why me? Or why, you know, those kind of questions really don't help anybody. They put you in a bad place to receive. Because you need to connect with God, not to be there questioning the situation. Because God has nothing to do with that. Unfortunately, you know, lots of doctrines of men says the opposite. But, you know, there is a scripture that really ministered to me many years ago. It's from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, you know. Says, you know, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the one who was trying to put things in order. Not by might, not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And we have to remember that and to remember that that is the way that we are going to get things lined up, the way they should be. And God is there to back you up. He's there to help you to overcome the test that you are going through. Okay, it's helped you to be promoted, to be, you know. And this is especially true for born-again believers. See, born-again believer should know better not to fall into the flesh at those times. Because, you know, they have equipment. They have, you know, an arsenal army that the people in the world don't have. And we have to use God's weapons, not the worldly ways. And that's the time when we had to be careful and we had to think about it. Okay, we had the word, we had the gospel, we had to understand the gospel, understand the implication of what it says there. You know, I'm not going to go through everything here, you know, but really God wants us to have victory, to overcome. And he is using that for the Holy Spirit to work in us and to deal with us in the things that are going to make it the change and give us victory. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to men." So, you know, you are not a special case. And we always think we are a special case. We are not a special case. We are all in the same boat. And we had to learn how to do. You know, but it says, but God is faithful. That means, you know, that eliminates everything that was said before. God is faithful, okay, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, that you may be able to overcome it. That's a big promise. And we have to remember that. I mean, when we are going through a hard time, you know, the reaction of the flesh is, God, why you put me through this? And this is a completely wrong theological position. God doesn't do that. I know there are lots of, you know, doctrines of man that says that, that that's the way he cleans you up. But that's not God's work. I mean, God uses even, you know, any situation that you are in to provide not just a way of, you know, a way of escape. He is there. This is why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful our attitude when we go through these times. You know, our flesh profits nothing. Is the word that gives life. Amen? So we have to understand that and allow God to do what he wants to do. He has the way out. He has the way to guide you. He has the way to bring you to victory. And we have to be able to find that way. And it goes completely contrary to the way that the world does. See, the world complains, the world, you know, people in the world complain, people in the world says, you know, well, we're feeling sorry for themselves. You know, all the attitude that comes there is really the wrong attitude, the one that the flesh is going to produce on you. What God said instead is, you know, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I mean, that's not the natural things to do, is it? And doesn't say that you're there, oh, hallelujah, you know, I'm going through trial. No. That's not what is meaning there. Okay. But no, you have to have a vision. You have to have an understanding to be able to cope properly with that. And know that if this is going this way now, I count it all joy because I have the answer for that. God provides a way out for me. You are not stuck there. Are you with me? See, this is something that we have to go against our own nature, against the way we feel at that moment. Because that's the way it's going to, your feelings are going to go. And that's not the way that the flesh responds. The flesh complains. Okay, the flesh doesn't like it. If you complain, blame others, okay, blame God, get discouraged, give up, you are not going to get anywhere, okay? You end up not succeeding, not overcoming, you know? We can see the right response in when Paul and Silas, you know, just came to Philippi, and they were there, you know, sent by God. And they were beaten up and thrown in jail and possibly executed after that. They were in there saying, why, God, you send us here? That's what they were saying? That's what they were doing? Just the opposite. Okay? They were in there. They were bleeding, pain. I mean, they were beaten up. And they were starting to praise the Lord. It was 12 o'clock at night. It was late at night, waking up all the prisoners there, you know, with all the racket they were making. That's really irrational for somebody in the world. Wouldn't you say? Okay, so the idea is that they were sent there. They say, God, you know, what did you do wrong? What did you do wrong? I mean, that's the first thing that the people say. What did I do wrong? It's the wrong thing to say. God is with you. You better keep him there instead of separating yourself from him. Okay? I know that the flesh doesn't like the things I'm saying. You know, but that's what we needed. Because if we understand and we get through the flesh, then we get into the spirit and things start to happen. Okay? But we have to understand what to do when to make things happen instead of trying to force, to push, you know, by might, our might and our power, our way through. Because he's not going to do it. You are fighting against things that are bigger than you. Praise the Lord. Complaining doesn't get anywhere. You just get you more bound up than you were before. And you doesn't do nail help you to actually be overcomer. That's what God said. Provide a way out. And he, you know, has provided not just the way out, but how to get the way out. So instead of feeling sorry for yourself, you should start rejoicing that you have inside information. Or you can have inside information if you remember that is there. That Holy Spirit is inside you, you better keep it there instead of, you know, shut him up and said, oh, you know, I had to do something here. No, you do only what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. That's what makes the difference. Okay? And the reason because you can start doing that is because your attitude is guided by a different reasoning. The reasoning is, why me, God? That's always take it out. Because 99.999% of the time is nothing to do with God. Okay? See, the position you had to take is that you had to know something to be able to respond differently. And if you don't know that, and you not just know it, you know, but really the knowing there is really that the word there in this verse that I'm going to read now, you know, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You see, the know is ginosko, that actually doesn't mean just know with your head. It means you understand, discerning, okay? Not just the mental thing. You are aware of that. This is something that is inside you. Okay? So, you know, the testing of your faith has been tested. You are there and you are under pressure. And you had to hold on your beliefs. What you believe in, what, you know, you trust in the Lord and getting his help. Okay, and what you do is that test should produce patience. See, that's what you should do if you have the right attitude. Now, you see, the thing is when we realize that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? So, a fruit of the Spirit, you are born again, I said. That's your position. I'm not talking about with the world today. According to believers. Believers that are born again, have a relationship with God, they have the Holy Spirit living in them. Okay. He's inside you. And so he is going to be the solution of your problems. You have to understand that the physical things you are going through or the emotional thing or whatever in this level here, okay, are not the things that are going to make a difference. It's the things that you don't see that's more important, that you have to deal with. That you're unable to overcome. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, if you are born again, is already inside you. and you had to let it come out. You had to let, you see, your spirit has to rule your life. And it's your choice, the choice that you make. Nobody else can do it for you. You had to trust the Lord with all your heart. You had to believe that what the word says is true. And so what it's saying here is, you know, if you let patience deal with the situation and say, I had to get rid of this, I had to do something, and you get panicky and you had to, you're already in a losing position. There is no fear because you are assured that he is providing a way out and he is there for you. That he cares about you, and that's why he's provided that position. Actually, he intervenes. But not in the way the generally is interpreted. He intervenes the other way. He intervenes in the fact that he's going to help you to get out of it. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we have to understand that and to be able to act and operate according to that. Okay? You have to let the fruit of the Spirit manifest in us. Because when the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting in us, that means you are connected with God. When you are patient, instead of panicky, instead of being upset, instead of blaming everybody else, instead of being jealous of other people that are not going through that what you're going through, instead you are trusting the Lord with all your heart. That's the time when you have actually, you're walking in the Spirit. And you know, you can know that you are walking in the Spirit. Because you should know that if you are giving in to the flesh, you are not going to be there. You are not going to be patient. You are going to be there complaining and doing all the other things. Praise the Lord. So you are going to know. Okay? And when you have, when you start manifesting one fruit of the Spirit, there is not just one that comes up. Generally, the other ones come up too. Okay, one of them that is really going together with us is joy. And what we said before, count it all joy. See, when you start thinking in those terms, start knowing that God is in control, that he provided a way out, and actually this is going to be a promotion for you instead of a regression, then you start to see the whole thing in a different perspective. And for the joy set before you, the way Jesus did, don't tell me he wasn't tested. Okay? For the joy set before me, us, okay, we are going to be joyful because we know we get the victory here and we are going to break through. Instead of saying, I don't know what to do and I'm lost. And I'm going, I don't like it here. And feeling sorry for yourself. Look at the others are going just fine and I'm in this trouble. Are you with me? I'm talking about the way we function, we react generally. You see, instead of focusing on the circumstances we are in, we have to focus on God. What his intentions are. Because that opens us up to actually receive them, manifest them in our life. And you are going to start receiving it, from the things, for example, you're going through trouble and you're rejoicing because you know that God is with you and you're going to break through. Not just, God is punishing me. If God will be around punishing people for the things that they do wrong, I don't think there's anybody in the world anymore. We are in a period of grace. God doesn't work that way. That's why we got the good news. If we understand the gospel, then we understand what the good news means. That is good news. Praise the Lord. So we are there, okay? And then we have to do, let the patience come out. Let patience take over our life. When you feel impatient, you just crucify the flesh and just allow, instead, focus on what God promises is that He is going to provide a way out, that He is going to help you, that the Holy Spirit inside you is going to be all powerful and is able to do whatever. It's not by might or not by power, it's by His Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, you know, verse 4 says, but let patience, okay, have His perfect work. So you let that manifest itself. You lean on that. You allow it to come out and to be evident in you, to be manifested. See, you're starting to manifest spiritual things that otherwise wouldn't naturally be there. That makes all the difference because you're walking in the Spirit. At the moment, you know, lots of people see you, say, how can you walk in the Spirit? You are walking in the Spirit because you know and you make the right choices. And one of the right choices, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, instead of going around complaining, you're going to trust God and He's going to, and being patient, you know, in the things that are going to be manifesting and developing in you. And what's going to happen is that you're going to see things starting to happen. And you're going to know what to do. Okay? And we're going to see more. Okay? So let patient, you see, let patient doesn't say patient is going to be by himself there. You have to let it be. Let it to do the whole work. You have to go the whole way. And you let it go, and so just down there, putting pressure, or receiving pressure. That's what the enemy does. Putting pressure on us. That's the devil works. God doesn't put pressure. God guides you. Okay. Now, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, that's the result of the process. You're going to be perfected. You're going to mature. You're going to grow spiritually by overcoming because you have walked in the Spirit in a situation which the flesh wanted to take over and you instead refuse to go along with that. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, you know, now you're already putting, you know, positioning yourself in a good place. But there is much more the Bible tells about to do. Okay. We had to get the other help from God. How are you going to get that help from God? Well, you had to listen. Unless you learn to listen, see, this is why it's so important. You have to learn to listen from God. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us, and we have the faith to hear it and to believe it and to act on it. Okay. The following verses say, if anyone lack wisdom, you see, that's the time when I don't know what to do. Well, if you say that, you're already missing the boat. Why? Because you should know what to do. The Word tells us what to do. Okay. The Word says, you know, you lack wisdom, you ask of God. You're not going to ask of God if you don't believe He's going to tell you anything. And if you don't ask God, it's because you don't believe that He's going to tell you anything. Because all the time that we experienced before, you were so focused up on your flesh that you didn't even bother asking Him or spending time with Him or going to the Word and try to get direction. So, and it goes on, yeah, you know, asking God. I mean, there is so much information here that we can understand is guiding us step by step. Okay, asking God who gives to all liberally, to all. That means to you too. You are not a special case that God doesn't answer or doesn't talk to you. And if you think that way, that's why He doesn't. Okay? So He talks to all liberally. So He's not there stingy and trying to, you know, you have to pull it out with the pliers from Him. No. Liberally, without reproach. You know, that what it actually means without reproach is that it doesn't find fault in you. It says, you see, you got what you deserve. He doesn't say that. That's what the devil says. That's not what the Holy Spirit says. He is not, you know, He works without reproach. And He will give him. So the idea to Him. So the idea, you know, you ask God, believing, trusting him, being patient, open up, instead of complaining. And he, you know, he is going to give it to you. He's going to direct you, because, and he's not going to put you down because you are asking. He wants you to ask, because he wants to have a relationship with you that is meaningful, so that you are not just there talking to the wall or talking to the roof, but just there listening to what he's saying and guiding you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, that is a great promise. You know, Jesus said, there, you know, just ask, it shall be given, you know, seek, it shall be find, you know, knock, it shall be open. Then it goes, there's something else there. Everyone who asks, receive, everyone. Everybody goes together. I mean, God is not there stingy about responding to your question, but, you know, he's not going to do it practically or effectively if you do it without faith, without believing that you're going to get anything. It says, everyone who asks, receive. Why? Everyone who asks, receive, because they are open to receive it. If you are not working in faith, you are not open and you are going to get nothing, because even if he's trying to talk to you, you are just shutting him out. And what he does it immediately. It's not that it doesn't take, you know, 40 days of fasting for God to answer. It may take 40 days of fasting for us to become, have the right attitude of mind so that we can hear what he's saying. He's not stingy. He's not, he gives liberally. If we don't hear it, it's that we have a problem. And the problem is that we don't believe, we don't have faith. We have to start from the point at which we trust the Lord with all your heart. We know that he can be trusted and he is faithful. See, when you put those things together, what you are operating in is you are starting to walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a chance to get across to you and to give you the direction. That's why you ask God. The Holy Spirit is the one that talks to us. And is there inside you all the time, if you are born again. Praise the Lord. I mean, that should put us in a good position. And it continues what I just finished saying now, you know, is reinforced by the verses that come after. Okay, but let him ask in faith without doubting. You see, he's not... We all have some faith in the fact that if we, when we ask something to God, you know, there is an indication that we have some belief, at least there. The problem is our belief are always too much with our unbelief. And our unbelief are all the wrong thinking that we have. And so we had to have, you know, we had to learn to have faith and let the faith work without getting the unbelief. I mean, you know, that's the flesh speaking. And we had to find a way to eliminate that on the way, the same way as before, you know, instead of patience, you know, Russian pushing it, you know, shift that. Recognize that. You know when you are doubting. Why? Well, because it's simple to see, okay? Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed in the wind. You know, sometimes, you know, people want to be healed. You talk to them, say, oh, I have all the faith in the world. But they are emotionally going all and all between believing and not believing. Well, that's the situation in which is not going to work, for sure. And it's not going to work for anything else. Why? Because anytime that you unbelieve, you annihilate or you do nothing with the work of your faith. So you actually are neutral. You stay there. Praise the Lord. So doubting is the problem. Okay. And it says after this, to make the thing sure, and let the man know, and suppose, let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable in all his way. So, you know, you have to look at yourself, look at your position, look at the way you are walking, and then you determine where you are, and don't fool yourself about what's going on. You have to deal with reality, with the truth. If one moment you are there all keen because you've been reading the word, maybe or somebody talked to you something, and then next moment you're looking at your symptom, your problem, your thing. Your doubt is working on you, and that gives you a bad situation to receive. But says, you know, continue there, verse 12, okay, this is the way you overcome. You, okay, blessed is the man who endures temptation. And in enduring there is, doesn't mean just, you know, that means persevere under, he's not going to be affected. So that he's going to, you know, be tossed around between believing and unbelieving and everything else. No, and, you know, it's persistent, persevere, keep standing, does not give up, even temporarily. Okay. Do that, okay? When he has been, and when he is approved, and you are approved when, you know, you pass the test, when, you know, you approve that you're standing firm and nothing is moving you. Okay. And you're there, okay, praise the Lord. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, it's the fact that you loved him and love him, you know, can be misleading there. Because you trust him. Because he is, you are connected with him and you have a relationship with him. And there is a trust relationship. You value God more than all these other things so that these other things don't affect your relationship with him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, the flesh is our problem, not God. God is trying to give us the victory and he's showing how to get there. But it's by the Holy Spirit. So you have to find ways to remain connected. And the things, you know, that's what the things that we have been looking up to now shows the different steps that you can take. And you have to be conscious of what's going on inside you. See, that's how you're going to walk in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit when you realize what's going on and you direct yourself according to what the Word says. Praise the Lord. You know, God is so good that sometimes, you know, we are not doing a good job and he comes through anyway because, you know, that we know that we need help. And so this is why sometimes, you know, believers that they just born again and, they, you know, sometimes they get big results very quickly. But as we grow up, the Lord expects us to know more growing up. And so, you know, there is a maturity that is expected after a while. And so he is just dealing with you fairly. He is good. He loves you and he is not going to demand you more than you can give. See, he gives, he provides the way out for you. And you have to trust him. You have to love him. You have to trust him. And he's going to help you instead of there, you know, complaining, you know, why this doesn't happen. Instead of, and there's not nothing to do with him. He is trying to do as much as he can to help you because he loves you. That's not what the flesh likes you to think. Okay? Anyway. So, the idea is that we are going to have victory. That's what Jesus, but Jesus, no matter what the circumstances we are in, he's going to give us victory. And we often forget that. Why? Because we are so caught up with what's going on. If we get more caught up with what God is doing, we forget what's going on, and we find sometimes that the whole thing is gone without us realizing it. Are you still with me? I mean, that's what the Word says. It's not me saying, this is not man's doctrines. Oh, God is doing that so that you'll, you know, grow up. No. You grew up in it because you need to, and the enemy is using the situation to put you down, and you let him. Instead, if you trust God, he's going to guide you and bring you to victory. That's what the Word is saying. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, and then goes on, says, you know, verse 13. That should resolve the things for everybody. And doesn't do it, for unfortunately, you know. Says, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Okay, that should, I mean, after that clear statement, it's not that this is a vague statement that you can interpret many different ways. There is only one way to interpret that thing, and it's repeated in other places too. So it's not just one scripture, but that scripture is so clear and so evident that we have no excuse to justify ourselves to say something different. Okay, so we have to really see, you know, we cannot go. Okay, God is not the source of my problem. And every time that comes that to your head, just you have to reject it as a lie of the devil. So the devil speaking to you and try to convince you and try to deceive you into defeat. Okay? So, let's see. Then when, you see, it says, but, verse 14, when one is tempted, is drawn away by his own desire and entices. You know, and desire there is kind of difficult to, you know, it's not just the desire. Sometimes it's the feeling that you have. It's the thinking that you have that produces the wrong thing there. Okay? So you have been deceived by that. And when the desire is conceived, you see, when we go through some thinking that is wrong thinking, that thinking is going to grow and produce results. When we do the right thinking, that thinking is going to grow and produce results too. See, that's the way your thinking works. That's why you have to control the way you think. Because if you let your thinking go wild, you're going to go destroy yourself, because naturally that is going to bring destruction. Okay? It's only the Word of God. When we start guiding the Word, our thinking with the Word of God, and we start thinking right, then we get the right result. When we think wrong, then what should we get? The wrong result. So we have to know the things that God says and go according to them. Okay. So that when, you know, the desire has conceived, so you see actually like our desire, the way we start thinking, the way we start meditating within ourselves, or the things we say to ourselves, that becomes like a place in which a seed starts growing. It's where we give life to these ideas and they become materialized. So that's why. And so we give birth to sin, or, you know, that really the result the thing doesn't want us to have. And sin, when it's full grown, gives forth to death. So you see, that's the direction it takes. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, the flesh is our problem. Okay. Praise the Lord. And God doesn't change. He's been the same way all the time. He always functioned that way, and he's going to always function that way. Every good gift and every perfect gift come from the Father. You know, all life, and where there is no variation or shadow of turning, he's just always the same. God is always the same. God's plan for us is victory. No matter what's going on, God's plan is going to bring us to victory, because he's going to guide us and he's going to take us to the place in which we are victorious and we overcome the situation. If we believe, if we remain in contact with you, with him, if we allow him to guide us, because by ourselves, we cannot do it. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, because in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit, and very few were able to do it. But every born-again believer has God's life inside them, to guide them into victory all the time. And they have no excuse to be defeated, but giving into the flesh, and then that's their job. Okay? Fruit of the flesh, work of the flesh brings death. Fruit of life, the fruit of the Spirit brings life. Amen? See, God's plan for us, okay, is for us to be delivered from everything else. Delivered from all the things of the flesh. Delivered from this world situation that we are in. And he has provided all the means. In 1 Peter 1:9 says, you know, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You see, it starts right there. That's what we had to receive. Okay, we had to, you see, this is critical. This is why, you know, salvation is not just a question of, you know, just say a little prayer. Salvation means to become delivered. Delivered from all the things, okay, that keep us bound. All the things that are destroying us. Okay, and, you know, the full manifestation of that is when Jesus is going to come back. Okay, but the moment, you know, this is, start with our soul, start with, for a born-again believer, is that we start making the connection with God so that we can hear him, that we start receiving his direction, and he enables us to break through. Okay. But you cannot do that in your own strength. You need the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the power to overcome. They give you the direction. And it was even evident in the Old Testament. You know, for example, Proverbs 29:18 says, when there is no revelation, or some other translation of vision, you know, the people cast off restraint, but happy was going to keep the law. You know, it's not a question of keeping all the laws. You know, it's keeping the direction where God is, the direction to go. Okay? But we have to understand, okay, that unless we have revelation, and you don't have revelation or you don't have vision without connecting with the Holy Spirit, and that's his job, is the one that shows you things to come. Okay? So, you know, that relationship with the Holy Spirit is critical for victory. Any victory that you want against testing period, difficult time. Okay. Another one, for example, you know, Isaiah 4:6, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. See, the thing is, when we have lack of knowledge, it's not that because we don't know. It's because we were put to a choice and we rejected the truth and we accepted the lie. Then we don't know it anymore. So it says here, you know, you're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You don't understand. And that knowledge is not mental knowledge. It's actually perception, be able to see these things. Because you reject the knowledge, I also reject you from being a priest and so on and so forth. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. God wants us to be saved. The good news is, you know, Jesus came so that we are saved. And we can have that experience. Hallelujah. Okay? And, you know, we get that how? Like everything else we receive from God. By faith. Faith means believing what he said. Believing what God said concerning us. And so you have to start believing that he's going to show you the way, and he's going to guide you, and he's going to provide you, and you are going to be overcoming because he promised that. See, that's the starting point. That's where we are going to be able to do. Okay? That means be delivered from starting from our soul and then also our body. Okay? Of all the fallen states involves, you know, guilt, anger, strife, torment, pain, sickness, needing, poverty, anything that you need. All these things are taken care of by the provision that God has for us, the desire. This is the way God wants, what God wants for us. Okay. Praise the Lord. He doesn't want to be there. But you have to start with having righteous thinking. Align yourself with the Word of God. You know, start, you know, you want us to have a healthy feeling and emotion so that you go toward the right thing instead of the wrong thing. And you're going to see in you things are going to develop and come up that are actually the fruit of the Spirit when you're doing that. Like, you know, peace, love, joy, and all these things. Even your desire are going to be good. Your values are going to be right. Praise the Lord. Finally, you're going to be successful. This is God's plan for you. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So, you know, this is the election that you have. This is what he plans for us. Okay. In the sanctification of the Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit that cleans you up. If you remember, we were talking about 1 John 1, 9, you know, talking about, you know, it shows you the things that you confess your sin, you deal with them, and then the blood of Jesus, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness, all of it. You know, all the bondages, that's not just unrighteousness, you know, doing the wrong thing, but all the wrong thinking, all the wrong doing, all the wrong position that you have inside, even when it's not. So the sanctification of the Spirit. For what? Obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. So you see, the sanctification, the work, the process, the Holy Spirit is actually guiding you and saying, this is wrong, this is right. You know, it's not putting you down. It's not making you feel guilty. You know, the enemy makes you feel that because he's the accuser. The Holy Spirit is not the accuser. The Holy Spirit is the helper, the one that says, you know, if you do that, you get in trouble. And so you get convicted, and if you believe him, then you're going to do the things he tells you. So, and you believe him. If you believe and you're obedient, you follow what he's saying to you. Instead of doing your own thing, instead of making your own idea, you know, you see what God is saying to you through the Holy Spirit, and you correct yourself. And when you do that, essentially what you is repentance, is turning around. The blood of Jesus, what Jesus did, washes everything away, even the desire. Hallelujah. See, the result of that is why, you know, grace and peace be multiplied to you. That's the result of overcoming temptation. You see, your grace and your peace are going to multiply, are going to get bigger, are going to get better. And it's there for you to take because nobody stops you by yourself. Are you with me? Okay, that's the thing that we have to realize. Okay, by the Holy Spirit, we are going to get grace. Well, actually, it means, you know, the gift of God, who essentially is favor with him. He's blessing us. His blessing comes in this process. So when you go through something that is negative, he's going to, you know, if you open up, instead of staying there, you're going to get blessed. You're going to, you know, encounter favor with God. That's why you can look at it and say, well, you know, praise the Lord. Counted all joy. I counted all joy. It's not that you are just joyful. You just counted. You know, you consider that this is going to produce good results here because I'm going to break through this problem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You know, this is the following verse, 1 Peter 1, 3. Going to close soon. Okay. It says, blessed be the Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, it's not abundant meaningless. Okay. He has begotten us to a living hope. So the thing, you know, begotten us, the word there actually means, you know, could be translated as made us born again. You see, as the begotten, generated again. That's the Greek meaning of the word. So has regenerated us, okay, against to a living hope, okay? Living hope, the word living hope, that implies something. You know, the hope, hope is the expectation that we have. And that is living. That means it's active. It's operating in us. We are not there saying, I don't know if it's going to work. No, this is expectation that we are going to get the result. We are going to get the salvation that is promised. We are going to get the breakthrough of the situation. You are not there saying, oh, no, it didn't work before. It's not going to work now. Well, absolutely. With that attitude, exactly that's what you're going to get. Praise the Lord. Okay. But begotten us in this living hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, that's what gives us, you know, if he was resurrected from the dead, no matter how dead you are, he can resurrect you too. Because you are not rotting there for 3 days and the body is dead. You know, your body is still functioning to a degree. You have to just come along. But you have to be willing to move your butt. Move in the right direction. Okay? I mean, he gave us the direction. He gave us, the Holy Spirit gave us the direction. But if we don't go along with it, we are not going to get the results that he promises. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to close with this. Okay? So, the resurrection for the dead, okay? 1 Peter 1:4 says, and to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So it's not just that, you see, you're not going to get just something here. What you're going to get is something that is lasting forever. The little breakthrough that you have now is not that it's just a little breakthrough on the physical that you want because it bothers you. There is something much bigger is going on there. And what is going on that is so much bigger is that there is a spiritual change inside you in which you break through in a new space. You are more saved than you were saved before. Because if you were saved already about that thing that you had to overcome, then you will just go through and there will be any blockage. See, that identifies you an area that you had to overcome within yourself. So the enemy tries to defeat you. God tried to save you. When you start seeing that, okay, you count it all joy. Praise the Lord. I think it's a good place to stop because we are going to see much more about this. Okay. We have to understand how we can make it easier to move in this way, in this dimension. How we connect with the Holy Spirit. See, Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies us, yes, but you know, just without understanding the way the Holy Spirit is going to sanctify us, how are we going? See, in the practical way, we need to understand how it happens, how it is going to happen. This is the way it's going to happen. So, God has provided the way already. The whole thing is established. If you are born again, you are already a long way to there. Now it's just a question of heeding to responding to what the Word says and what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. And you are going to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. I mean, each time you break through in that area of faith, you are going to be stronger and better and more powerful and more closer to God. Closer to God. Do you see that? So you see, that helps us not to go around moving and complaining about things, but really to count it all joy because we know that we have victory. And, you know, when we go through the things, it's not necessarily pleasant. But the more we do what God says to do, the more we listen to the Holy Spirit, the more we are obedient, and the more you're going to get grace and peace. Because, first of all, patience is going to work more quickly because you are not there vacillating. You're going to get results. And then when you got results, there is another thing. I mean, then there is, you're starting to rejoice about it. You see, this is even better than counting in your joy. You know, you are going to have a, we say the next week that. I mean, it says really talking about, you know, the joy that we are going to experience when we go along with this process and we start experiencing the salvation that we get walk day by day. It's not something that we got that when we just said the first prayer or we just open up. You know, what happened one day ago doesn't make any more any sense, more important. Well, this is where you are today. Today is the day of salvation. Well, what about was yesterday? No. You got saved as you did yesterday. But you had to do some more work. You had to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you get anything today? Okay, let's pray together. Well, let's pray together that we may really start to be aware, have perception of what's going on inside us and around us and how the Holy Spirit deals with us. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love and for your plan that you have for me. Thank you that I can trust you. I can believe that your plan for me is a good plan. That you want me to have victory, to overcome, to receive the crown of life. As we grow in you, and you transform us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Thank you for your love. Thank you for caring about me. I'm opening my heart to listen, to be guided, to go to your word, to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to me, to obey him so that I can see the result of your work in my life. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.